Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymeer Church of Christ.
This morning I'll be reading from the New American Standard Translation. I will be reading the 23rd Psalm. If you would like to turn in your Bibles and follow the reading. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
If you haven't already done so, I would invite you to open up to the 23rd Psalm. We will be reflecting what this psalm teaches us about the true shepherd this morning. And if I were to ask for a show of hands, we could probably have every hand in this room go up, at least having heard and read, maybe even memorized this psalm before. And if I were to ask for a show of hands of people for whom this psalm has been a comfort at some point in your life, we would probably have many hands go up. If I were to ask how many of you have heard this at points in your life where you were dealing with grief, again, we could probably have several hands. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. What is it that makes it so powerful? What is it that as we've continued through the series, thinking about what Scripture teaches us about God, not what our culture might say, it might be somewhat presumptuous to come to a passage like this and try to preach a sermon on it, because we've heard it so many times, and because it's so powerful, and it's been so... What can we tell ourselves? What can we focus back on? Things that we've known that we often forget. That's going to be our focus this morning. I read a story a few years ago about an actor who was prominent a few decades ago. Said that he was in London attending a dinner party with a family, and they started to play a game. They were going around and having each person at the table recite a passage of Scripture. And so he came to him and he recited the 23rd Psalm. And of course he had experience and training as an actor, and so it was very impressive. And then as the story goes, they continue to go around the table, and finally there was an elderly aunt in the family who was in the corner, and she'd kind of dozed off, and so they woke her up and explained what was happening, and they asked her to take part of it. And in a frail voice, she began to quote the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." She had missed the fact that that had already been used earlier. By the time she was done quoting it, around the table, many in the family had tears in their eyes. And as the party was over and everyone was leaving, one of the family members went up to Charles Lofton and asked him, "What is the difference between reactions? Why did some people get emotional when she spoke the words of that psalm?" And he responded this way. He said, "I know the psalm. She knows the shepherd." I've always thought that was an interesting quote. I know the psalm, she knows the shepherd. And so it's my prayer that this morning, as we look at the psalm, we'll not only know the words of Scripture, but we'll also grow in our understanding and our knowledge of the true shepherd. And so as we think through this psalm, just look at the words that were just read for us. If we were to use the image today of a farmer or a cashier or a salesman or a police officer, if we were to use an occupation that many of us are familiar with, if I were even just to mention the word, all of a sudden there would be a set of assumptions and understandings that would come up in our mind. We would begin thinking about things most usually associated with that job. What do people in that job have to do? What kind of attitude do they have to have? What are some of the duties and responsibilities they have? Well, as we read about this psalm, when a shepherd image is evoked, there would have been a lot of assumptions and understandings from that original audience, because they would have known what a shepherd did. And of course, we know from reading Scripture that David was speaking from experience when he talked about shepherding and a true shepherd. Now, as we think about the power and impact of this psalm, and we've got the words behind me, I'd like for us to go to the next slide and look at a few of these phrases. Let me ask you if any of these phrases have ever seemed familiar to you or something you can identify with. Think about these statements. I feel lost. I'm not sure where to go in this life, and I don't know where to turn for guidance. What about this? I feel overwhelmed by life, and I have intense desire for more. I can't rest. Things never seem to be calm. Yet with all this activity, there is something missing in my soul. I am choosing my own path, but it has led me to some dark places. I'm constantly filled with fear and dread about what could happen to me. I don't have any comfort in my life, and I am constantly concerned about my enemies. I wish I knew what would happen. I long to have a place where I could feel like I truly belong. If we're honest with ourselves, there's been at some point in our life at least times where we could identify with a few of these statements. And you may have already picked up on the contrast between this and the 23rd Psalm. This is, in a sense, sort of the opposite of Psalm 23. This is how we would feel if we didn't have that shepherd in our lives. These are emotions that are the opposite of what the Psalm tells us will happen. And so bearing all this in mind, let's go back one slide and look at the verses of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Did you notice if we go back and we look at the opposite of everything that happens in the psalm, we see a lot of need, a lot of longing, longing for guidance, longing for a place to belong, longing for comfort, longing for assurance. And verse 1 of Psalm 23 says, with the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we need to be careful here, because we use the term want in a different way than we see the indication here. There are several things that we want. We could probably all make a list of things that are kind of on our wish list that we want, that we'd like to have. And yet when the term is used here, this idea of want refers to need. Your translation may say, I shall lack no good thing. The New Living Translation phrases it this way, I have everything I need. In other words, inner needs are satisfied. Here's a good description that we find in Deuteronomy of what this looks like. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 7, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel about their wandering around in the desert. And he said, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing. It's that same kind of indication. With God leading you, you have not lacked anything. And we can ask ourselves, was Israel, the group that was following Moses, did they ever want anything? Were they ever worried about what they might not have? They wanted a lot of things. At one time, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted the food they could have in Egypt. At one time, they wanted a God that they could look at, so they constructed a calf. There were all sorts of wants that they had, but they lacked nothing that they needed. God saw to their needs. And so when they needed water, he provided that. When they needed food, he provided that. That's what we get from the 23rd Psalm. Not that I can get anything that I want, but God will provide for my needs. And that's an important distinction. When we follow the true shepherd, we don't lack things that we really need. And so as we think through these things, we realize also connected with this image of a shepherd is not just an individual that would take care of sheep. Obviously, that's what we first think of. But there was also a connection between shepherding and being a ruler. There was a connection even in Scripture between those who were kings and rulers being linked to shepherds. Here's what we read in the 40th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Verse 10, we read, "Behold, the Lord will come with might, his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." And here's how he describes this ruler. "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." In other words, this king that is coming will lead like a shepherd. And so there's another connection. The Lord is my shepherd. Not only is there concern for sheep that a shepherd would have, but there's an understanding of leadership and rule that a king would have. And so what is it that we will not lack if we follow this shepherd? If I'm part of this flock, if I'm following his direction, what will I not lack? I will not lack sustenance. I will not lack the sustaining that I need spiritually. The idea of green pastures and still waters would have been very positive, obviously, for any sheep. That's what they need to survive. And we find out, as we think about the metaphor used here for a shepherd and sheep, that it might not be such a compliment for human beings to be referred to as sheep. Sheep are not the brightest of animals. They're not very clean animals, often very skittish and very fearful. And they needed this kind of food to survive. And this picture that's painted suggests a beautiful and a peaceful image of sustenance in a dry and arid region. You know, Palestine might not have had an abundance of these kinds of areas, and shepherds knew the importance of making sure they had good places for their sheep to be able to feed and to be able to get water. And so this idea of sustenance is very important. Also, the shepherd restores my soul, as we read in the 23rd Psalm. There's a restoration, an idea of life being caused to return to me. And a shepherd responsible for sheep was responsible for their lives. He was responsible for thinking through every obstacle they would face and making sure they were protected. There's an idea of a life of a sheep being in hands of the shepherd. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus would describe the way in which a sheep know the sound of a shepherd's voice. There was that important connection there. And so if we think about the true shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, don't we see that kind of sustenance provided for his people? When we read about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, we've already mentioned the way in which God provided food for them. And as we think about a spiritual level of sustenance, God gives us spiritually what we need to survive. It might not be everything that we want. We might not receive all our desires, but we receive what we need spiritually through His Word. And by the way, that's important for me because I need to realize if I'm not spending time in the spiritual resources God has given me, then I'm not going to be very well fed spiritually. In fact, I could be starving to death spiritually, if I'm not spending time in His Word. And if we were to put this in a physical level and think about someone coming for a meal once a week or twice a week, we know that wouldn't last us very long physically, but think about it spiritually for a moment. Am I spending more than once or twice a week into the Word that God gave me to sustain me spiritually? It's an important question. We won't lack sustenance if we follow the true shepherd, and we will not lack direction. We will not lack a purpose. In fact, we read in the 23rd Psalm that He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's a specific way to go, and it's typified by righteousness, righteous living. Sheep need help getting places. In fact, they don't always know where they should be. There are stories told about sheep that would graze in the same area. And even if there would be a wonderful opportunity for a pasture nearby that they could find food, they still don't move and they begin to get sickly and unhealthy because they're eating in the same area. They don't even have the sense to move from one place to another. And this idea of direction is very important. The idea of a shepherd guiding unknowing sheep is natural. And when we think about ourselves in light of God's wisdom, it reminds us of His guidance for us. I love the way Exodus 15 and verse 13 reads. Listen to these words. "In your loving kindness you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength you have guided them to your holy habitation." In other words, not only did God deliver the people from slavery, He was also guiding them. God does not only give us salvation as we come to Him and submit to His will. He also guides us. He doesn't just leave us purposeless after we're baptized. He gives us guidance in the right direction. And because of that, there will be times when God's guidance is going to clash with guidance I might get from other places. It may even clash with where I think that I should go. And I may be a lot like those sheep that we mentioned. I'm grazing in one area, and this looks good to me. And even though I'm being led by the shepherd somewhere else, I'm still not sure that I really need to leave that area. Or I may be drinking out of, as sheep might do, out of a dirty puddle. And there's a beautiful stream nearby, but because I'm unwilling to follow the guidance of a shepherd, I'm not getting where I need to be. There are going to be times when God's direction will go in a different way than even we might think. And so I need to ask myself, am I following His direction? That's why it's so dangerous to say things like, well, I just don't believe God would say this, or I don't believe God would do this, without consulting His direction. You know, it may be that God has a plan for me that's different than my plan for myself. And so I need to think through that. I need to look at His Word. And we also won't lack His presence. And to me, this may be the most powerful impact of the 23rd Psalm. In fact, I think it's why it's so comforting for us, because it reminds us that God's presence is with us. Can you remember a time when you were really scared? Maybe a time as a child. I don't know if you were perhaps afraid of the dark. Maybe you thought that there was something in your room, something in your closet, or something under your bed that was out to get you. Whatever the case, do you remember the feeling when a parent or an older brother or sister was in the room with you? Nothing about the situation had changed necessarily, except there was someone nearby. And when there's someone nearby, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? When there's someone with you, when there's someone beside you, and you have that kind of comfort. When we read about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it paints a picture of darkness. In fact, it's a difficult term to translate. It's one word that sort of indicates this whole area, the idea of the valley of the shadow of death, or the dark valley here. It probably shouldn't just be limited to death itself, but to dark experiences that we face in life. And yet the encouraging part is there is a presence that's there. In fact, how many times do we see God's instruction, especially in the Old Testament, to His people not to fear, connected with the fact that He will be with them? What is it that God tells Moses when Moses isn't sure about going back and leading the children of Israel? I will be with you. What is it that God tells Gideon when Gideon isn't sure about leading His people into battle? He needed to be of courage, and He proves over and over again that He is with Gideon. And so as we walk through dark valleys in our lives, just knowing God's presence is with us is one of the most powerful, just most incredible gifts that we could be given. And it's one of the most powerful strategies we have with dealing with these dark valleys. And I know, just because it's human nature, that there are individuals in this room walking through those valleys right now. And it may be that no one sitting around you knows the valley that you're in. It may be the darkness that can be caused by grief or by illness, by taking care of a family member. It may be the darkness that's caused by a difficult relationship with someone in your immediate family, pressure that's come in your life because of job and work expectations that's conflicting with other pressures, and it's caused you to feel very badly and to feel exhausted and overwhelmed. It may be the darkness of addiction or depression. Whatever the valley that you're walking through is right now, we're promised the fact that if we're with the true shepherd, if I'm part of His flock, then I'm not walking through that valley by myself. I have His presence with me. And so as we face these dark times, it's an incredible blessing to know that. And did you notice that the fact that he was following the true shepherd doesn't mean that he got to walk around the valley? There wasn't a detour around the difficult times. And we can look around, and we don't have to look far to find promises that say, if you just do this, or if you just follow this advice, or if you just go this direction, you won't have any difficulties in life. You'll have the best day you've ever had every day of your life. And everything will be sunny, and everything will be bright, and you'll never have to deal with darkness. But that's not consistent with our experience. We know better. And so when we read this psalm, it's comforting to know that God is with us. And so this morning, if you're in one of those valleys, it's hard sometimes to find comfort from those around you. It's hard because even your closest friends don't always know what to say or how to help, and they don't understand where you are. All our experiences are different. But can I tell you that what we can all tell each other and tell ourselves is that we're not in that valley alone. That God is with us. And that's the most comforting thing that we can offer. I don't think it's any coincidence that in Matthew chapter 1, when Jesus is going to be born, His name will be Emmanuel. That means God with us. John would begin his gospel in John chapter 1, describing the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. It's important to realize God is with us. Another thing we won't lack, very closely connected with that, is comfort. The imagery used here is to describe the rod and the staff of the shepherd, tools that would be used both for guiding the sheep and also for defense against predators. And it was those items that gave comfort. They understood that they weren't part of this flock in a way that was defenseless. There was a shepherd that was leading them. And the kind of comfort that's received by understanding we're following the leadership of God is a comfort that just can't be matched anywhere else. The image goes on to change a little bit from the idea of a shepherd to the host of a meal. And so it's described here that the table is set before me in the presence of my enemies. This idea of a host that is prepared for a visitor. And there are all these different ancient references in the ancient Near East to practice for etiquette and the fact that if you set out a table for a guest, even under the sort of laws of hospitality, that you would have a reprieve from your enemies, that it was indicating that the host was offering protection. But not only that, can you imagine what it's like to know that the Lord sees us as valuable enough to set a table, valuable enough to offer us protection from enemies? Isn't that an incredible message? It reminds us of what we would see even earlier when the psalmist would say that when he considers the heavens, when he considers the celestial bodies, he'd say, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" Why would we deserve this? An image of being anointed with oil. It may have indicated the fact that someone who was a guest would have received this by a host who is practicing etiquette. We also see anointing connected very closely in the Old Testament with the setting aside of someone as a leader or as a king. Either way, it's an indication of value, that God values us. It's comforting. We don't lack comfort and we won't lack assurance. Because at the end of this psalm, we read about him being pursued not by his enemies, but by goodness and mercy or loving kindness. The ideas that are closely related to living with God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this was written in the Old Testament. This was written before the time of Christ. But I can't think of a better image for Christians to look forward to than to dwelling with God forever. And if we want to do that, it's important that we look at the shepherd described in John chapter 10. For just a few moments, as we bring this to a close, I want us to think about the way in which Jesus fulfills this criteria of the true shepherd. When he describes himself as the good shepherd in John 10 and verse 11, we can see several parallels in the New Testament between Jesus taking care of others and looking at others the way a shepherd would. In fact, there's this really interesting side note in Mark chapter 6 when Jesus is going to feed the 5,000. He sees the large crowd in verse 34 and he feels compassion on them. And why does Jesus feel compassion? Because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Isn't that an interesting parallel? He sees them and he knows they need help. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And he feeds them. It's that compassion that comes through in Jesus. It's the compassion of a shepherd. Jesus gives us sustenance. Now, he will refer to it in spiritual terms. And that confused a lot of people because they were thinking physically. But in John chapter 4, when he's describing water, he's describing living water. In chapter 6, when he talks about bread, he's talking about the bread of life. There's spiritual sustenance that's available in the message of Jesus. He gives direction. He would tell his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. In John chapter 8, in verse 31. If you continue in my word, in my guidance, my direction. And at the end of Matthew's gospel, part of the promise of the Great Commission in Matthew 28 was that he would be with them always, even to the end of the age. There's presence that's implied there. I won't lack for presence if I'm following Christ. And he gives comfort. I love the words in John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. There's comfort that comes in following Jesus. Not because we avoid any valleys, but because we know that true shepherd. And then he would tell them in John 14, beginning of verse 1, another passage that I think is appropriately read many times when we're grieving and we're in a funeral service. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. We won't lack for assurance if we follow Christ, because he's told us there's a place prepared for us. A man named Frank Borum of New Zealand tells a story of a French officer during World War I. He trained all his in an exercise where he told them to take their left hands and extend their fingers one by one. Each one represented part of the 23rd Psalm. The index finger was the Lord, the next finger was is, the third was my, and then the pinky was shepherd. And that was something he wanted his soldiers to hold on to. Once his unit memorized the drill, he gave them further instruction, which is when they were in the heat of battle, when they were in a difficult situation, that they would take their left hand and the index finger and that they would hold it with their right fist and they would hold on to the Lord and the fact that he was the shepherd. And as he tells the story, after the smoke had cleared from one battle and they were going through and finding those who were injured, who were wounded, who were even dead, there was one individual there who'd lost his life in battle. Just by looking at him, it became very clear. But he had his right hand wrapped around his left index finger. He was holding on to the Lord. He was clinging to the Lord. Now, it's a beautiful story that Frank Borum tells. I don't know if it's true or not, but I like that image of holding on to the Lord. And when we come to this psalm, and when we think about what it tells us about God, and we ask ourselves, what can we learn new from this psalm? Haven't we read this so many times? Maybe we just need to be reminded of what we already know. That if we are with the Lord, we won't lack anything. And maybe we just need a reminder to hold tightly to the Lord and be comforted by the fact that he is with us. And it may be that you're here this morning and you need to make that a reality in your life. You need the Lord to be with you. You need to become part of the flock that follows the true shepherd. You can do that. You can turn your life around. You can put him on in baptism, and you can begin following his guidance. Or it may be that you feel like you've wandered away from that guidance and that direction, and you want to come back where you know that you belong and where you know that God wants you. As we think about the compassion of a shepherd, as we think about the compassion of Jesus, we're reminded of the good news, which is every one of us can be part of this flock, can be part of his family, and can be under his guidance. And if you need to make that decision, you can do that right now as we stand and as we sing together.